When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today I'm here with Chanel Westcoast. We were just talking about this sort of dynamic where, you know, girls are very particular about what way they're filmed, what the angle is.
Yes.
And you were saying that you felt like the ridiculousness angle was not fair to you.
It's not. It's just, well, there's always an angle that's of all of us, and that's a better angle. So when you see me and Sterling or me and Sterling and the guest, it's usually like a cuter angle of me. But all of the solo shots that camera that they use is dead set on my worst angle possible.
And there's nothing that you could say to them to change this?
I've tried to, but I don't think anybody cares.
Right, nobody cares. Because I was interviewing a girl the other day, and the, you know, we have multiple camera angles, and she had seen the good one, but there was another one that was more like straight on, and yeah. I'll admit it was way less flattering, like almost didn't look like the same person. And she kind of like caught a glimpse of it at the last second, was just like horrified, and I felt really bad, and it made me realize like, you kind of have to have like an open communication about the angle, because the angles are so important this day and age.
No, it's angles are everything to girls. And we don't like that lower angle. It's like a very, you know, it's, we don't like that chin angle. That's a better angle for guys, because guys got stronger draw lines, you know?
I think about that all the time too, that I like intentionally make myself look like shit on my Instagram story when all I have to do is jerk my arm up in the air to make myself look way better or like find some good lighting.
Yeah.
And just don't really care that much.
Yeah, the guys, they don't.
Yeah. It's a double standard.
It's a girl thing.
It is, isn't it? So how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. This is a jam-packed day of interviews.
I've had a jam-packed day too. Actually, well, I will say I'm great aside from, please excuse me if I have to cough. I'm fighting off a little cold right now.
Just a cold though? It's not like pneumonia or anything serious?
No, nothing that crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. I feel like a lot of people want to know who Chanel Westcoast was prior to ridiculousness. So let's talk a little bit about your early days.
Yes. Where do we start? Very early, like,
yeah, like just where birth? You were born, you know, maybe like what you were like as a kid and stuff.
Yeah, so I was born in Van Nuys, California. Mm-hmm. So I was conceived on the East Coast though. Mom and Dad hooked up in the East Coast.
Do you know what they were doing?
No, I don't. Let's not get into all that. But so my dad's from New York, from Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of bi-coastal, but I was born and raised here in LA and pretty much been doing music my whole life since like I could start, you know, since I was talking, I was singing, dancing.
Really?
Yeah, my mom, like she always said, like she knew, it's, she has this funny story actually. She knew that I had a musical, you know, knack or whatever, because my dad's a DJ, but my mom's not really a music person. So she, I guess, wasn't like for sure if I would pick up his talent or whatever. So one day I come out with a little Casio keyboard and I told my mom, I'm like, guess what, Mom? ABCs and Twinkle Twinkle Little Star is the same song. And my mom's like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Holy shit, this kid knows her music.
I figured that out like a couple of years ago because somebody tweeted about it.
So I was
pretty
three.
Impressive, yeah.
Three when I figured that out. So my mom from that moment, she was like, let's get her like piano lessons, dance lessons, all that. So I was always in, I was in hip hop dance and like ballet as a little girl, but I stayed in hip hop dance. I quit the ballet and I was a hip hop dancer all throughout school. I was in hip hop dance, cheerleading, orchestra. I used to play violin, but I stopped that. Might get back into it.
Were you writing raps while you were young, while you were in like school and shit?
Yeah, I start. It's so funny because I guess that might have something to do with the starting to smoke weed at a young age, but I kind of forgot like actually that I was already rapping at school and stuff, and I'll have friends be like, yeah, remember that time you were rapping at the lunch tables? I was like, I did that.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, it's like, you know, kind of
speaking of weed,
kind of foggy memory of high school, let's just say. But
right. It's easy to forget about all the fucking weird ass shit that you were into in high school for like a week.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And like, and then people bring it up and I'm like, oh shit. Okay. Now I remember. But yeah, so I started rapping in high school and, that's, you know, that was when MySpace started popping off.
Oh, so you were a girl rapping on MySpace. Were you actually using MySpace to promote your stuff at that time?
Yes. So basically, it's a long story. Man, I got a crazy story. I'm going to write a book about it one day. I'm trying to make it short for you. The first producer I started working with, actually, sadly, he was my first boyfriend, too. And he passed away. He was shot and killed. Whoa. And after that, that was like a moment in my life where I was just like, I need to like completely focus on my music.
You were with him and he was shot and killed?
No, we had broke up, but he was like my first everything,
and
you know?
And you were how old?
I was 18 when he passed away.
Wow.
And so we had started doing music when I was like 16, and I stopped working with him because we broke up.
Uh-huh.
And so when he passed away, I realized that I had basically wasted a lot of time and that it was really stupid that I didn't stay working with him uh-huh. while he was still alive. You know, you realize like, why did we stop working just because we broke up, you know?
Why was he, what kind of shit was he involved in? They got shot.
Him and his best friend were shot and killed.
Were they in the streets or was they this were like walking, some random shit?
It was like some random shit. They were in a bad area of the valley. I know people think the valley's not hood, but it is in lots of places.
It's got some nooks and crannies.
Lots of nooks and crannies. And yeah, they were leaving the studio going to 7-Eleven to get a blunt. Uh-huh. And some fools, I don't know the whole story, but like they were shot and killed.
Wow.
And it was like the most devastating thing in my life at the time, you know? So I was just like, literally, I actually had a new boyfriend who was like kind of controlling and he wasn't really fucking with me rapping and like he wasn't into it. So I was like, fuck you. I'm making a MySpace music page. And he's like, oh, you're going to flirt with guys on MySpace. And I'm like, no, I'm going to grind on MySpace, get my music out there. And so from MySpace, like I literally did not stop going hard. I would sit on MySpace and add people for hours, like check out my music, check out my music, check out my music, check out my music. And I just like, you know, from there, just like hustled and hustled and hustled until I randomly met Rob Dyrdek through MySpace.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you encounter him on there? And was he famous yet? Or was he still just a skater at that time?
No, he was Robin Big was already popping. It was actually one of my favorite shows.
Because we've had drama on here before. So nice. We've had a little bit of background on what that whole time was like a little bit, I guess.
So drama is actually how like kind of it happened. So basically I would go and I would add all the top artists on MySpace and then I'd add all their top friends. I figured it was like they might have a manager, somebody important in their top friends. So I would add all the top artists, and drama was, you know, still making beats back then. And he was on the top artist cause he was like popping from Robin Big.
Uh-huh.
So I added him, and then in his top friends was like Rob, his brother Big Cat, who's also on the show with us, a couple skater homies, and I ended up becoming friends with all of them first. So they led me to meeting Rob, basically.
How did you become friends though? Was it a flirty thing at all at first?
You know, not on as much on my part. I think maybe he was trying to flirt with me more. But yeah, no, like I was just like I've always been like about networking, and I was just trying to like, I was like, oh, you make beats, like let's work, you know. And then I formed like a friendship with Drama and his brother and their homies. Like they became like kind of like my brothers, you know?
And then how that conversation start where they were like, yo, like we think that you might be the person to sit here and laugh at viral videos, which a lot of people consider to be like the best job you could ever have.
Thanks. Well, that's a lot later. Actually, first it was Fantasy Factory.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, actually Rob admitted this to me recently. He was like that Drama and my boys had said to him like, oh, she thinks she's a rapper. I'm like, oh, so they were talking shit. Okay. So Rob then met me, and then Rob met me and realized like I'm very authentic and real, and you know, and he was like, nope, she's very rappy. Like she's a rapper.
Uh-huh.
And so, and I don't know, Rob said from when he met me, like they had already been thinking about getting a girl on the show. So I just was like funny and kind of like fit the mold perfectly, I guess. And they asked me to be on it.
That's tight.
Yeah. And then that, I don't know how that led to Ridiculousness. That's
right. Which is more fun to film? Because one is like action packed, zany, and like one you're kind of just chilling on the couch, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess I've grown to like Ridiculousness a lot more now because I have hair and makeup, which is a big difference in Fantasy Factory.
Really? They wouldn't get you dolled up for the show?
No, it's a show with all guys, you know.
Goddamn.
They don't understand, I guess. And then they're like, you're cute. Like, you don't need it. I'm like, okay, whatever. So filming Fantasy Factory was like being in high school again. Like, every day, like, what do I wear? Gotta do my hair and makeup cute, you know? Because except it's millions of people seeing you, not just high school. Ridiculousness, you know, it's a better styling budget, and as a girl that's a great thing to have. And I think since being on that show too, maybe people started to think I was hotter because I do have that now.
Okay.
So I like that part a lot. more.
Yeah. Was it weird for you when you first got on TV to go from like you had been kind of just, you know, working and trying to become, you know, a musician or whatever, and then all of a sudden you're famous for fucking being on TV, just fucking around in this weird factory all the time?
It was very weird. I never, you know, I never wanted to do like reality TV or anything. But like the day that Rob asked me, I remember I literally had like a little pile of change I scrounged up to go to In-N-Out. Uh-huh. And I like kind of looked at my little pile of change and was like, you know, I do need some money. So I'll take the job. So I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't be, beggars can't be choosy. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, let me take this job, see where it leads me. And yeah, I'd never thought I mean, I've been doing music my whole life. That was always my goal since I was a little girl. I never thought I'd be famous for just like fucking around and laughing and shit, you know?
Right. Had anyone ever told you that they thought you had an interesting laugh prior to being on TV? Or did that meme start on TV?
You know, I try to remember, like, did people ever like tell me about that they liked my, I don't think so. I think it was like, once they heard it on TV, it became a thing. Because like I even was asking my friends, I was like, yo, do you guys remember my laugh being this great? They're like, you always had that laugh. But I'm like, but nobody ever said anything. Nobody ever told me it was a cool laugh or like funny, you know? So I think it was after being on TV that like so many people could hear it amplified and like be like, oh, that's a funny laugh.
Right. Yeah. Is there anything else like that? Like shit that people point out that you wouldn't necessarily have known or thought about?
You know, not really. I mean, I think it's weird. I think that TV sometimes too, like, especially in the environments I'm in on Rob's shows, I think that they see me as like only like happy and like and like goofy. And so I think that maybe if anything, people just didn't get to know really who I am like as a whole, which I kind of bugs me. Because, yeah, I think that's, like, one of the biggest setbacks for me. As much as being on the show has been so great for my life and such a fun, like, journey, and I've made a good amount of money off of it. My passion is music. So it's been a big setback for me because people just don't, they don't, like, get how I'm happy and funny. But, like, why is this girl a rapper? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think it's hard to balance that, to be taken serious as a musician while also, like, being on TV? And really, you know, only getting to demonstrate, it would be one thing if you're on TV and it was like a reality show all about your life and it sort of showed some kind of depth. But the reality is you don't really get that on TV. It's like on TV, they're going to turn you into sort of a cartoon of what you really are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it sucks because I think that, you know, like I just told you, like a couple things I've been through in my life, you know, things like that. People don't know. They don't know the hardships I've had to deal with. They don't know the struggle. They don't know my life. I think they see me in like, you know, I got like a kind of like Taylor Swift look. Maybe they imagine like I got a mom and dad like happy holding hands with a golden retriever. And like I grew up in this nice big house or something. Like I know my looks might like come off like that. But like that's not me, you know. So it's very hard for me I feel like I couldn't even fully be myself for a while. I feel like now I'm getting to fully be myself because, you know, it's just that's how I want to be. But yeah, it's been hard.
Yeah.
Because I can't, like, for example, it's like I played a receptionist on Fantasy Factory. I wasn't a real receptionist. When I worked a real receptionist job, you think I was coming to work like acting like my little ratchet self? No, I had to be professional and classy because it's a fucking job. Right. So when I go on Fantasy Factory to play a receptionist, obviously I'm going to be like sweet and professional and proper. I'm not going to be coming in fucking cursing and like smoking blunts. Like I'm a receptionist.
That would be tight, though. You can't do that really on TV.
That would be tight, though.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. So, you know.
It feels like, yeah, when they sort of want to turn you into a cartoon of that. But then, like, the whole thing of being a musician is that you're, like, trying to sort of demonstrate some kind of depth. Like, you're trying to present yourself as something that is, you know, interesting enough that people really want to take to be interesting enough that people want to take you seriously as an artist or whatever is its own specific thing. And it's always, I feel like now, and maybe you were even kind of early on this, but now it seems like it's so much more common for an artist to have a podcast or to do vlogs or whatever. And that's kind of like something that maybe you were sort of early on, because like I remember Joe Budden them telling him that he was never going to be able to be like doing what he's doing now while he was a rapper. And it's like now it feels like it probably wouldn't be that much of a compromise to do both at the same time.
No, totally. I think it's a little bit different with me just because like I'm a little white girl. And like I don't think people want to accept that I'm actually like dope at hip hop. And like that's really who I am. But like Ludacris said it best when I was on an episode of Fear Factor. He was like, he's like, yeah, he was asking me like what it's like, you know, to transition from a TV to music. And I said, you know, it's weird because sometimes I think when people transition from TV or film to music, they're not accepted as easy. But a lot of people transition from music to acting much easier. And Ludacris goes, yeah, he goes, I used to be a radio host and nobody thought they would be like, you're not going to be a rapper, bro.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? And he goes, and now look at me, 20 million albums sold. So yeah. He's like, you know, you just got to keep pushing. And at the end of the day, people will finally see you for what they're supposed to see you for.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's sort of like a, like people want to have like an easy, like white girl stereotype to kind of pick on, especially in rap, just because, you know, that is sort of the image is that like, you know, a white girl or whatever, that they sort of get this like preferred special treatment and stuff like that. So it's kind of like when you become famous without fully putting your entire personality on display through whatever you're becoming famous for, then it just opens that up for people to be able to paint you as what they want you to be.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Do you feel like somebody like Charlamagne, when he tried to come at you on that thing, you think he was just taking like the easiest shot possible? Or how did you feel about that whole situation?
That was very confusing for me, honestly, because it started because he had randomly tweeted one day that I was a whack rapper. That means you were checking for me, one, to even have to formulate an opinion. You must have listened to something, right? So you were checking for me and went out of your way to tweet that I was whack. So when I when he came on Ridiculousness, something came up about him saying, oh, something about his opinions. And I said, well, that's exactly. I said, just because it's your opinion, don't make it a fact. And that's kind of what started our little thing. And I think that part of me thinks he went at me more to like, I don't know if it was to push me or what, because I feel like secretly, like he likes me and fucks with me. You know what I mean? It's like you were checking for my music in the first place. Why?
To be honest, you know what I mean? I've watched so many Breakfast Club interviews, and I've never seen Charlamagne as happy, as full of glee than he was in that display. Like he was stomping his feet. He just looked so full of joy to like actually just have a chance to roast somebody on somebody else's show. It was kind of crazy to see how much fun he was having.
I know it was. I don't get it. I don't really get it. Yeah, but as I said, you know, opinions and opinion, we all got them, just like a fucking asshole. So it's like, we all got them. It doesn't make you any better than the next because you have a certain opinion, you know? And I think that especially when it comes to music, it's like, I don't know why his opinion on my music should really matter to anybody, because it's like he's a radio host, you know. If he wants to go and be a rapper just like Ludacris, go do it, bro. You know, why you gotta sit here and hate on every rapper?
Yeah,
like
it's weird too, like we've been having this conversation in rap a lot lately, because like for instance Swae Lee put out a song featuring Drake, and then Joe Budden, who is admittedly like a big Swae Lee and Drake fan, he comes out and basically just says this song is fucking horrible. He went in on the song, he hated it so much. And then Swae Lee sort of put out this whole video being like, why the fuck are you talking about me? I don't give a fuck about you, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of raises that whole question in rap, like, you know, is it okay to just have an opinion about somebody's craft? And like, is it reasonable to expect the artist not to get offended when this is their craft that they worked so hard on?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I just don't get why. First of all, it's like, there's been a couple songs that I think are trash, but like, I don't go out of my way to like post about it. I'm just go on and find a fucking song that I like. You know, it's like the same thing when you go to shop for a car. I think I got this from a comedian. I'm like spitting it like it's my knowledge, but it's like you go to look for a car and you don't sit there and diss all the cars you don't like. Like, fuck that car, I don't want that piece of shit. You fucking find the car you like. You know what I mean? So it's like, why do you gotta go out of your way to state opinions of shit you don't like? Just go and find what you like and focus on that. I think that's what everybody needs to do, and this world would be a much more peaceful place. Straight up.
And the internet has really empowered that, because it's like, if you were famous in the 80s, you would never really know if people didn't like you unless like they wrote a letter to the newspaper or
I don't know.
They like somehow, like if they went outside MTV and like held a sign or something, like it would be really hard for you to let a celebrity know that you don't like them back then. Now it's like they just pull up to your Instagram, drop some comments.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like anyone regardless of if you're beloved or not beloved, anyone is getting so many negative comments that it's almost hard to even take it serious, you know, because there's so much positivity and so much hate for, yeah. for me, at least. Like, I don't see a negative comment and really think twice about it unless it's really, really well written.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. And when it's really, and then sometimes I'm like, dang, they're kind of smart, but I still don't agree.
You know? Or like, maybe they know me.
Yeah.
That's the weird part.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, damn, they really knew how to hurt my feelings there.
That's happened to me a couple times. I'm like, yo, these people, like, it's like they read my mind. They really hit me where it hurt. But for the most part, I try to, you know, I tend to go and look at somebody who leaves a negative comments page, and they tend to have very little followers.
Private, 41 followers.
Exactly. And then I kind of just feel bad. You know, it's like, I feel bad for, like, I can't name all my friends. I got so many friends, you know, and it's like, for people, there is people out there who only have 20 friends, and I can understand where, you know, maybe some loneliness or something like that could make you just say mean things or something. I don't know. I think it's just like, so I just started to, I used to go off super hard, but then I'm like, dang, I might be really hurting this person way more than they're hurting me, you know? So it's just like, I try my best to ignore them. Unless they say something really fucking stupid and I need to check them, then I'll check them.
When you are going through something like that Charlamagne clip going viral, like, what's your mentality on it? Are you actually staying on Twitter looking at it? Or are you pissed off? Are you just like, whatever?
No, I definitely wouldn't look at it. I mean, like, when that clip went viral, I actually was kind of thankful that Charlamagne originally posted that tweet calling me a whack rapper, because that would have never happened. And then I wouldn't have had this viral moment where I was able to tell the world what a lot of people needed to know. You know, a lot of people sleep on me, and it's like, I have worked with legends. You know, people like Be Real, you can watch our Smokebox episode. Even Be Real goes, how many OGs got to give you the cosign for these kids to get it? I don't know. Somebody tell me, you know? So it's like, that's why I spit those facts to Charlamagne, because a lot of people do sleep on me, and a lot of these kids do hate. And it's like, I have legends in rap who fuck with me. So why, you know, why does Charlamagne's or any of these kids' opinions matter? And I felt like I needed that. I needed to use that moment to state a couple facts, because Ridiculousness is a great platform that I don't really ever get that chance to talk about my music. You know, we've got 400 something episodes, maybe 3 or 4 have been really like heavily talked about my music. So I kind of was happy that that moment happened.
You know what the craziest thing about that clip is? Because we just watched it earlier, is that Charlamagne says, he says, everybody wants to mention Drake and Nicki, but nobody wants to mention Lil Twist and Tyga. Tyga, like, 2 years ago, it was like a joke. Like, his career was over. And now, like, I was just in England, and he was like fucking super high up on the bill at this huge festival they were doing, and everybody was going insane in the crowd.
Yeah. No, well, even when Charlamagne said that, though, he was still kind of popping. It's like, yo,
right, yeah.
He doesn't know anything about the politics. There's a lot of shit, which I don't even want to get into, but a lot of people don't know a lot of politics behind certain things of people who were signed to Young Money and things like that. A lot of people don't know things, so they don't know the struggles that people like me or Tyga or a lot of other artists who were Young Money affiliated have went through. So Charlamagne's just speaking blindly like a bunch of fucking people do.
So are you looking at your experience spent under the Cash Money umbrella with a negative viewpoint? Because we've heard a lot of people walk away from that situation saying negative things, and we've seen a lot of people walk away honestly saying positive things. Maybe not a lot, but some.
Well, so it's crazy. So I was Young Money. It's such a long story, but
kind of would never get a chance.
Wayne is the shit. I love him for life. He gave me the cosign. Let's just say there were some complications with him and Birdman, from what I heard, that might have pertained to me. And
wasn't clear who owned what percentage of your career.
This is what happened. So I had like some old management. I was offered a Cash Money deal, and my old management and I was in a deal with Polo to Don at the time. They were really trying to push me into do this deal, and so I had, you know, like a lawyer friend and somebody like look over the deal, and they're like, this isn't that great of a deal, like. And I was in a really bad production deal with Polo, which I love him to death, but his lawyer goes hard. Shout out to his lawyer, because his lawyer fucking goes hard for him.
Right.
And I didn't really know what I signed, you know? So basically people were like, you can't go into this Cash Money deal. You'll end up fucking bankrupt. Like, it's such a bad situation.
You can't have two bad deals stacked on top of each other.
Exactly.
Or one bad production deal stacked on top of the label deal thing.
Yeah. So then I met some other people who were directly linked to Wayne and Young Money, and they go, yo, Wayne is going to fucking love you. Let's bring you to meet Wayne. And so in my eyes, and maybe if Birdman himself hears this, I know I never meant to disrespect him. I wanted to be Young Money, Cash Money. You know, that's it. But I was going to be dragged into a bad situation unless I got out of that Polo deal. Uh-huh. And so the people who worked directly with Wayne were like, Wayne's going to want you to be Young Money for sure, which that you're going to be Cash Money anyways. You know, it's going to be all, it's all good. We're all family. And from my smart perspective, I don't know if this is what happened, but I think maybe like Birdman might've been offended or something. Mm. And then I don't know, next thing you know, we hear like it's taking a long time for my deal to get done. And then after it's taking a long time for my deal to get done, then we start hearing that Wayne and Birdman are beefing. There was actually a TMZ article that leaked saying that I was the reason. So when that came out, I kind of started crying for a second because I was like, wait, I don't want to be breaking up fucking Wayne and Birdman. Like, these are fucking legends I look up to since I'm a kid, you know?
Do you believe that? Was there anything that would indicate that outside of that article?
No, but just from everything I've dealt with internally, that's maybe, it just seemed like through a stem of events, I don't know, I couldn't figure it out. Like, that's what I felt like maybe happened.
Holy shit.
But yeah, like Wayne is the shit. He wanted to sign me. He wanted to get the deal done, but like things were just being held up. And the next thing you know, him and Birdman are having issues, and it was just like a lot. So, I tried to, you know, just stay down, stay repping the Young Money name as long as I could. And then people
during a very complicated time in Young Money history,
very complicated time. Yeah. And so, and I'm on an international TV show, and like, it was getting to a point where it's like, I need a label. Like, I don't have ways of getting my music out here in these countries. I'm on TV. Like, if you're with a big label like Cash Money, they would have had my music playing in all these countries, you know? Uh-huh. And that's a little bit harder to do independently, to reach the same networks where my TV show is.
Right.
And I believe if I was with the right label and I reached, you know, all those same areas where we're popping on TV, I think it could be a big movement, you know?
Right, definitely. You feel like it was going to be tough to exist in that world too, when they have like Nicki Minaj and Drake, like the biggest artists in the world? Yeah, it's going to be tough to get attention, right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother issue. I actually had the same management as Wayne and Nicki, and from what I heard, conflicts of interest, they had to stop managing me, so.
Really? You think Nicki was jealous?
I don't know if she's jealous. I don't know if she just supports other women that much.
You don't think she does? This has been said about her a lot in the past by other women. So yeah. Don't be
sure. I was never vocal about it until Cardi went hard. And I was like, fuck it. If Cardi's going to go hard and blast her, why shouldn't I blast what I've been through? You know?
Really? So what specifically do you think she did besides just not wanting the same management as you?
Probably. I mean, maybe she thought that I would like take their attention or something, you know?
Mm.
I have no idea. I looked up to Nicki. I thought, I was like, yes, I'm about to be friends with her. I was so fucking excited. And then, you know, then come to find out she hates me. Whoa. That's a hard thing when
so someone
you look
told
up
you
to
that
them.
Specifically?
Like, yeah, people she hates told you? Me that.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy. That's gotta be such a weird feeling, huh?
It's really weird.
And so now it's Barty gang to death?
Oh yeah, I love Cardi. She's the best. No, but I've had other rappers too, like, you know, Lil Kim, like I just met her at the VMAs and she was like, I love you. She's like, you're so dope. Trina even gave me just a big shout out. I'm actually going to drop it in a little video recap soon, where Trina was like, just like, yo, like people be sleeping on you. Like, I love your music. It's dope. And, you know, I think that's why Trina has the title The Baddest Bitch, because I think that's what makes you a bad bitch, is supporting other women.
Right. Well, that's good.
Yep.
So you plan, have you ever thought about that, about signing up and coming female artist to your shit, or are you too focused on your own career?
I'm still trying to pop my shit off. I mean, I have a couple friends who are actually, you know, starting to do music, and you know, I've been helping them as much as I can, and I'm very much about that. I just want to, right now, it's almost like I feel like I need to get to that next level so I can be like that homegirl that puts on a couple people, you know? Because I would love to do that. I just think that I need to be in a better place to do that, you know?
So you were never formally signed with Cash Money? It just didn't really work out?
No, there was never a deal in place. It took forever and ever and ever, to a point where I was like, am I just like being bamboozled? Is this ever going to get done? Like,
and I've had a bunch of people say that to me in the music industry too, is that what will always happen, and they see it happen over and over and over, and it's not specifically exactly what was going on yours, but something will be hot, and then the label gets to work on doing it. The deal takes 6 months, and all of a sudden the shit is not quite hot like it was.
Exactly.
And like, you sort of miss out on this window where you might have been able to really make something shake.
That's what I felt happened to me. It was, you know, unfortunate. But the fortunate thing is I do have something like Ridiculousness, where it's ongoing, never ending. And I was able to, you know, keep riding on out and using being seen to my advantage to where I still keep it going.
Yeah, that's actually, there's such a crazy opportunity with that sort of platform, because when I was talking to Rob, one of the, or not Rob, but Drama, one of the craziest things was how he had this story about how he was able to make Young and Reckless pop off because of the TV show. And any normal TV show, you wouldn't be allowed to like wear your own brand. But because Rob was out here rocking DC and Monster Energy logos everywhere, the contracts had to be different. So that like opened the door for Drama to bring his own shit onto the thing. And boom, he created a huge brand off of the back of that. That's pretty crazy to me.
Yeah, no, I think it's sick. It is a unique situation because I think because Rob's an athlete, sponsored by all these people, you know, I think that that's why they were able to kind of like break that whole thing where you can't wear like all the logos and stuff on TV. And yeah, Drama got really lucky with that. It's
crazy.
It was a very good platform for
that's a lick right
brand.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there like Drama took a step away from it for the most part? Is there ever a part of you that is kind of like, I don't even want to do this show anymore. I want to like do something different with my life.
I mean, I want to do music mainly. That's my main thing. And I would love to get into acting too, but I feel like the show has become like such a big part of my life. Like I couldn't see myself like I'm going to stay on it until it's done. You know, I'm never going to leave it. Like even if my music popped off, I would still try to find a way to make it work unless they were like, yo, this isn't going to fucking work. You got to go.
It's probably pretty easy too. Can't you like film a whole season in like a couple weeks or something like that? It's probably not that time consuming, right?
It's not that time consuming. But for me, it seems like it's always falling when something important comes up for me. I've missed like several tour opportunities. I've missed several music gigs. Especially because we film on a Saturday, which prevents me from flying for gigs on Friday nights.
Right.
It's a long story. Anyways, yeah. So as much as it's a great platform for me musically, it has set me back from a lot of tours and gigs.
Wow. That's too bad.
It's all good, but I make good money and I have fun.
Right. Definitely. How do you feel about like the state of female hip hop right now? Because it's more booming than it's ever been. It's kind of a great moment. Like if you like listening to girls rap, there's way more dope girls rapping than there's ever been before.
I think it's amazing. It reminds me when I was little. When I was little, there was a bunch of female rappers too.
True,
like Ladies Night.
Dry spell besides Nikki for a long time.
Yeah, well, after what I dealt with, I'm wondering like Nikki was out here just like stopping everybody from fucking coming up for a while or something. I don't know.
Let us know, Barbs.
Yeah, let us know. I'm sure you watching. We know you. We know you be lurking, bitch.
This
okay?
is the second one this week they're going to have to watch because I interviewed this girl, Mandy, from the Horrible Decisions podcast. And she what she said about Nikki made what you said look like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, like I like I said, I used to be Nikki's fan. So it was I've never could have hate for somebody who I used to bump. I definitely stopped bumping her, though, when I found out she didn't fuck with me.
I bet she don't like me either. I mean, I don't know if she knows me, but I bet she, if she did, I bet she would hate me. So maybe I should throw away her CDs.
Really? Why? Have you said some bad things about her?
No, actually, I like defend her. But I also just feel like I'm like realistic. It's like, let's like look at that. That seems to be the problem with Nikki. Is that she doesn't want anybody commenting or critiquing on what she's doing. And it's kind of like, no, like if you go on the radio and you give some wild rant and people feel like you were acting crazy, people are just going to say it. Like that's their right. And that's just how it is. And it seems like she has a hard time accepting that.
Yeah, I feel that. Well, I feel like we veered off from the main thing, though, is how do I feel about the state of female rap now? And yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I think that girls are all finally teaming up, and they need to team up even more, though, because like you see guys always collaborating with each other, doing like joint albums and stuff. And like, you know, you'll see four male rappers on a song together. You don't see that as much with girls. I think we really need to come together more and collaborate more, because I think as a unit, you know, women would be stronger in hip hop if we worked with each other more, you know? I definitely think it's still hard as fuck for a white girl, especially when they don't got a big ass like Iggy. You know,
you
I
hold
got
that against her.
I got a little booty. I got a little booty for being petite.
But she used to have a little booty too. She got one installed.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not here to get into any of that. But yeah, you know, yeah, it's still kind of hard for white girls. I definitely think, yeah.
You're all natural though, huh?
All natural. I get Botox on my forehead, though. That's it.
Nah, that don't count. yeah, every girl in LA.
I have to, though. I got like a small forehead, and I'm like so expressive that like it like causes this like permanent fucking wrinkle where that like makes me look like a pug.
Okay.
So that's why I get it. And then literally it like stopped it. It like saved me from getting it. I used to have like a little wrinkle there before I started getting it, and then now it's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I was recently told about? And pardon me if this is too offensive, but I like had girls tell me that if a girl's ever going down on you and she can't look up at you, she can't make eye contact with you, it's because she got too much Botox in her forehead and she can't make her eyes look up. I'm like, wow, that's what that is.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So now we know. I don't know.
I just like had a visual. Okay, anyways.
Something to think about.
Especially because I know what that face of the strong Botox looks like. So yeah, I had a strong visual there.
Was it weird for you to have one of your family members blow up in the rap game this year?
Huh?
Boy West Coast? No? I just assumed you were related.
I'm sorry. I feel like... Listen, no disrespect, Boy West Coast, if you're watching this. Bro, you know who I am, bro. What man throws my West Coast in their rap name after knowing that I've been out here for... Well, you trying to get my attention. You want a date? What's up? What's up? I think maybe that's why he put it in his name. He looked like he might be a fan.
He definitely does.
He was following me when I went to go look at his page, so...
He was.
I don't know.
Just credit your influences, boy. Like, if you're out here taking swag.
Exactly. Credit me, bro. Why don't you tell some people you got West Coast in your name because I inspired you or something? Like I checked his timeline because I was like, maybe he's been rapping longer than me. I don't know. Let me do my research.
I did my research.
I'm like, nope. I've definitely been rapping, like, ages before this guy.
You think you could have had bars on that song? Do, 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 do. You think you would have been able to get on that remix? It would be cool if you co-signed it like super early on.
Yo, I didn't hear it early on enough. Otherwise, I might have. I actually think it's a really catchy song. I get why it's blowing up.
One of the weirdest songs ever, really.
It's a very catchy beat, like do, 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 do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's crazy. just want to bop to it, you know? So I get it.
But no official relationship.
No, we're not related.
Or dating.
No. But yeah, what's up, boy West Coast? Why you got my name?
He can use another round of clout, so I think we're helping him out right here if he wants to like respond or something. That kind of actually the boy West Coast thing got weird real quick because Why? That girl leaked DMs of him calling her the hard R. Yeah, and she also was not even black. I think she was white or Hispanic or something. So that was kind of weird too.
Oh,
it was crazy.
So, okay, yeah, I heard something like that, but that's not good.
Yeah, that was ugly. Reading those kind of made you rethink the whole thing. Like, oh, damn, boy. Yeah. Were you close with Big Black?
Not as close as, like, the rest of the guys, but, like, we were cool when we were on the show. We were the only ones who smoked, so, like, after Fantasy Factory, we would, like, smoke together sometimes. But I wasn't super close with him.
But it was... pretty devastating when he died, or
I was probably the saddest just because I'm a girl and like I was also a fan of Robin Big and I felt like being a fan of the show, it's crazy because like when I first got on Fantasy Factory, I was like, you know, I was very nervous and then I got used to it. And then when Big Black came on because he hadn't been on, I was nervous again. And then I realized, oh my God, it's because like I haven't worked with him yet. Like, I'm used to these guys now, but I had kind of like a fan moment when he first came back on our show because I watched that show as a teenager. So yeah, I was just really sad. I was really sad about it. I felt like mostly the most sad part was that he left a small daughter behind. Like when I just think about those type of things, it makes me like kind of emotional. I'm a girl in that sense. I get emotional.
No, yeah, that is terrible. Poor guy.
Yeah.
That's awful. I've seen you coming out and sort of linking with some of the up and coming talent out there in the game. You got new videos of Nestle and Dax. What's the game plan? What made you want to connect with them?
You know, I felt like I've done songs, you know, like I went off in my rants to Charlamagne about with a lot of big people. And there's a lot of up and coming people who are really popping, you know? And I think that a lot of people don't, maybe because they're not signed to a major label or whatever. So like Nestle, I was a fan of his. I was bumping his music.
He's good. He doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah. No, I think he's fire. And so I reached out to him and I was like, yo, I got this song that I think you'd be really dope on. And then same thing with Dax. I was his fan. And I actually got connected with him through Riveting, who did the music video for us. Yeah, I felt like it's cooler to work with people that like, you know, a lot of like my TV fans even were like, oh, I don't know who these guys are, but like I fuck with them. And so I kind of like in a way putting people onto my fans too. And yeah, I just wanted to work with artists that like I actually like myself.
Definitely.
And listen to. Not like I don't like everybody else I worked with, but you know what I mean.
Right. Anyways. Yeah. No, I just think it's cool because it's kind of like somebody like Dax and Nestle where it's actually going to probably positively affect their career to even be put in a position where they get more eyeballs on them.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No. And I feel like they both have really like, you know, kind of like cult like followings. Like their fans are great, both of them. So when I knew going into working with both of them, I was like, I know that this is also a good thing for me because they've got great fan bases. And so, you know, it's good to work with people who have great fan bases like that, who, you know, are going to support the song.
Mm. That's dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Compare going viral with the Charlamagne thing to going viral for the thing outside of the nightclub. Let's talk about that, because that, you know, we got to admit a lot of people out there had some LOLs thanks to that one.
Oh, my God. Seriously, that was the worst night of my life.
Really?
Well, it was just really random. First of all, the way I was dressed, let me just break it down. Because a moment like that made me look so horrible. And like, I'm a hardworking person. Like, I'm out here, like, really, I work really hard. And so to get only shine for moments like that hurts me. Like, so that day, I actually auditioned to be the ratchet white girl in 50 Shades of Black, which was the spoof of 50 Shades of Grey that Marlon Wayans was doing.
Not a porn spoof.
No,
that's what it sounds like.
No, but it was it was out. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like a spoof. No. It's you know how they do all the spoof movies, the Wayans brothers. So it was like the spoof of 50 Shades of Grey. It's called 50 Shades of Black. And I guess, you know, my agents, they're like, oh, we know Chanel, like she could do the ratchet white girl. But they meant like ratchet looks too. So I was like a little too cute for the role, which is what Marlon said and why I didn't get it. Mm. So I had just auditioned for that. And then went straight after that. My two friends had just moved back from New York, two of my best friends. So the girls, we got together right after I had like a successful good audition. You know, like I auditioned with Marlon Wayans in the room and he loved it. But he literally was like, you're too cute for this. Like we have more. If you see the girl who got the role, you'll understand. No disrespect. She was a great actress.
She's ratchet.
She, you know, had the more ratchet like looks.
A little bit more Trailer Park than you.
Yeah. Okay. So I went straight from the audition to having shots with my girls, which lasted far too long, which we ended up at One Oak on like a weeknight. Like my girls don't have kids and shit. Like I don't even know how this happened. So I'm in One Oak. It's like a dead night. Nobody's there. Like I'm friends with Richie Akiva who owns One Oak. Like I know the people there. Like they always treat me like royalty there. So this security guard comes up to me and I'm like wasted. And he's like, you need to go. Cause apparently some girl complained I spilled a drink on her. Mm. I've had so many drinks spilled on me. Like yeah. I would never try to get somebody kicked out for that.
First
like,
time in a nightclub.
Yeah. Literally. Is it your first fucking time out? So she tried to have me removed, not knowing who I am. And the security doesn't know who I am. And like, I'm cool with the owners of the club, whatever. So I just like ignore him. I'm like, dude, like, stop. You playing? Like, come on. Like, I performed here before. Like, what are you doing? And this guy doesn't know who I am. Literally picks me the fuck up.
Security?
Yes.
What?
Takes me out. So my one homegirl comes out with me. Then I have a Uber who's like, I'm not making two stops. And I got so pissed because I was already so embarrassed of being kicked out. I have the little mini water bottle I took from the table and I chuck it at the Uber. And an off-duty cop comes up to me and grabs me.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I said, I thought it was a random man. Like, I was like, get off me. I said, what are you doing? And he goes, you can't fucking throw a drink at a car like that. And I said, get, and I hit him. I said, get the fuck off me, thinking it's like a random dude. He was like in like a, he was like an off-duty cop in a security outfit, but he's in a security outfit. I'm like, get off me, bro. Uh-huh. He goes, you just hit an officer. I'm like, what? Like, it was like the Twilight Zone. And then next thing you know, I'm being arrested. And they're just like, have me handcuffed while TMZ's filming as if like the cops wanted their shine or something. It was so fucking weird. Uh-huh. Like, it was just, it was a night. Like, I didn't even get charged with anything. It was like so stupid.
Wait, but you're talking about a different one. You're not talking about the one where you're
shit. So now I just made myself look real stupid.
No, but I did watch that one earlier today.
Well, and had
no
idea. Well, I be wilding, people. Sorry.
No, but what happened in the Poppy one? Because... And also, I want to know what Little Pump is still doing.
Oh, my God. Wait. So listen to this.
Little Pump. Because I seen him. I was watching one of your vlogs where you're like partying in Vegas.
That was not Little Pump in the video.
No, I know. Right? Little okay. Pump is what I call him because you said, that's not Little Pump. And it's just so funny because I never
did. I say little?
It's kind of because it's like,
I
it's
think
little,
I just said an aggressive little.
Right.
Maybe.
It just made me laugh. And you know what's funny is when that came out, I thought, because I'm good friends with Little Pump.
I'm cool with him too. I was just partying with him in Miami.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking about sending it to him and I'm like, nah. Like, probably everybody already sent him that. And then when I saw him, like, 6 months later, I showed him and he's dying laughing. Like he thought it was so funny.
I think we might have had a conversation. I was like really fucked up when we were just partying in Miami, but I think we kind of like talked about this a little bit. Me, him, and his homie Brandon. We were talking about it. But that night was another it was just, I was pissed off, right? So this is what happened. I came with a group of girls and all my girls are cute. Okay. I don't roll with nobody not cute. And the guy at the door goes, Chanel, come on, come on. You're good. He goes, just bring the two cute ones. I go, what? And wow. I almost felt like my girls heard it too. And then I went into defense mode because like for me, like when a friend is like has their feelings hurt or like somebody says something like that to one of my friends, like I feel like it like hurts me, you know? And I just snapped and I was like, what do you mean the two cute ones? I said, all my girls are cute, bro. I was like, it's me. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, let us in. And then the security starts trying to get involved too. And he's like, yo, you need to chill. I said, you need to fucking chill. Like, nobody's doing anything. I'm talking to the promoter. Like, get out of here, you know? And then I see my boy JJ walk up with my homie Apple from Black Eyed Peas. And I go up to them to talk to them on the side after I had already walked away. And the security goes, oh, now you try to sneak in? I'm like, bro, I'm talking to my boy Apple, who I have a fucking song with. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, they're just being disrespectful. And that's why I started going off on him. First, they tell me that my girls aren't cute. Then the fucking security is treating me like I'm just like a nobody. Like I'm trying to sneak in. I don't have to sneak in any club. Like, if I wanted to, I could have went in and left my girls. But I'm not that type of fucking friend.
It's crazy you know how that shit kind of slides in nightclubs. Like, just where, like, they're just not letting girls in based on how they look 100%. And it exactly. is a weird thing when it becomes vocalized. Like, yeah. I've heard that before too.
But that's why it's like, then they put me on TMZ, two guys talking on TMZ, like most sexist thing ever. Why does it take two guys to fucking talk to me? Anyways. And on TMZ, I'm like interviewing with them. They're asking about it. Like, why would you go off in the security like that? How rude. I said, how rude? How sexist is it to say only bring my two cute friends? And how mean is that? And sex, speaking of sexism, why am I fucking talking to two guys? Are people stupid? Like, do you think that I just snap and yell for no reason? I'm literally famous for laughing and smiling. I'm clearly a fucking happy, nice person. You know what I mean? So I'm not gonna just go off on somebody for no reason, like a psychopath. It's because somebody said something really rude to me and to my girls. And the funniest thing about it is, like, still to this day, I'm like, oh, you can't get in the club. And it's like, people don't even understand. Like, no, I can get in any club I want. I'm cool with fucking everyone, bro. I was in a situation where I couldn't get in all my friends. And I'm that good of a friend that I did not go in. And that's why I went off on them. Because they were being rude.
Right.
So, yeah. I'm happy we just cleared this up.
No, yeah. I'm glad that we got to sort of talk about it. You haven't talked about it publicly before now?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like maybe like, well, when I did the TMZ thing, they interviewed me after, which is like what I said is so weird. Like, they had two guys interviewing me. I'm like, why does it take two guys to talk to me? What, y'all can't take me? Like, like, let me talk to one person.
Do you feel like it is like people are sort of aiming to get that kind of like viral exposed moment with you because yes. your public character is like just this like nice, fun, happy go loving chick. So people love to like find out, aha, she's actually mean.
Exactly. That's what it is. I think that like, people see like I'm a nice person, I'm happy, and I also am working really hard and actually have talent. And like, I don't know what it is. We're in a society as far as media goes where they want to find the people that they can easily tear down. And let's be honest, I don't come from some rich family. I don't come from the Cyrus family or the Jenner Kardashian family. I don't have the type of heavy weight people behind me in PR who are gonna stop shit like that, you know? Otherwise, they'd be attacking all those people too, the same way. It's that I'm an easy target, you know what I mean? And like, they love to tear people down. It brings views and ratings, and they do it to people like me who are easy targets, in my opinion.
You know Kylie?
Not, well, kind of, but like, I'm not friends with her. She's been on Ridiculousness. Like,
that could be a good look. You could go be her new bestie. Jordan's out of here. She need a new bestie.
Yo, me and Kylie, we would probably get along really well. Like, I
that's
follow
what I'm
her.
Thinking.
No, like, I follow her. See, like, we, like, she always is, like, playing little songs in her snaps. I'm like, oh, she got good taste. Like, we always, like the same music and stuff, like, similar style, you know? So I think we would be friends.
Kylie was always bumping my boy X before he passed, which was actually huge for us at the time because we could not believe that somebody as famous as her was fucking with him. That was mind-blowing at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what are you what's you been working on lately? You had these few videos drop over the past couple weeks. Anything else in particular that really stands out that you're sort of putting a lot of your energy into?
Yes, another video dropping this week on my birthday.
Solo, or you got another rapper on it?
No, it's solo, and I'm singing actually. So it's like melodic, like, you know, it's like singy, it's like rap singy. Oh, it's nice. still like, you got to hear it. It's still me. It's like still hard Chanel, but like soft at the same time.
Okay.
And I'm really proud of the song. Like, the song has so many, it has a lot of different meanings behind it. I feel like it's kind of one of those songs, though, for my fans. I want them to listen to it and kind of interpret their own meaning. But for me, like, I wrote it about basically, like, a lot of fake shit going on with, you know, Instagram and all these people trying to be famous. And, you know, everybody's doing things for clout and likes. And I'm just trying to get out there and, like, take off, but like, I'm not trying to do all that, you know. I'm trying to do it the honest, like, dope way, and so that's what I'm talking about in the song. But when you listen to it, though, you can maybe get other meanings. So I want my fans to just listen to it and relate to it however they do. Mm-hmm. And then I just dropped my clothing line, which is called LOL Cartel.
Really?
The name, like that. The name was inspired by Redman. I don't know if you saw my Sharon Stone video.
Oh, okay. No, I saw it, but Redman, what about it?
You got to watch my Sharon Stone video.
I think I did, but I think I'm still missing it.
It's so basic. There's a little scene where him and Michael Rapaport are in it acting, and
right.
And it's like we redo like the Basic Instinct scene, like kind of like a spoof of it. And so basically he's like, Michael Rapaport's like, tell me who you working with. You know, like they're like the detectives. And then Redman goes, I think she with the LOL Cartel. It was so funny. Like, first of all, seeing them film it live, like everybody on set could not hold their laughs in. Like, it was so, I've never, like, it was so hard to hold my laughing in. But that's what inspired it, because I really feel like that's my thing, you know? Like, I'm the LOL Cartel. It's kind of a mix of like cute and hard. You know what I mean? Right. The name, it's really me in a whole, but it doesn't just stand for laugh out loud. It stands for live, love, and laugh out loud. And it's all about positivity. It's a unisex clothing brand. It's in Zoomies. You can get it in really? Zoomies. Nice. Yeah, all across the country. But yeah, it's unisex. So it's like there's a couple designs maybe the guys might not rock, because I want to have some more for girls. But
right.
For the most part, everything is like styles that guys and girls can rock. And the sizing goes for like from small girls up to like big dudes.
That's tight.
Yeah.
I want it. My goal is to see the LOL Cartel get bigger than the Mexican drug cartels.
That's my goal too. Trust me, for real.
You know, like if we could sort of replace the murder and the fentanyl and all this stuff that they're doing, if we could replace that with just some laughter and positivity, boom, we're good, right?
Exactly.
There you go. And laughter is like your thing. That's kind of your brand.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's definitely my thing. That's how I've always used comedy to cope with, you know, a lot of the sad shit in my life. I always just turn on some stand up comedy or like one of my favorite movies, How High, Pineapple Express. You know, and I love to just laugh to get through things.
My mission this week is to see How High 2, because it came out on BET
with DC Young Fly.
No, 2. 3?
It's 3.
Oh, MTV. Yeah. It came out on MTV. They played it on a Saturday. DC Young Fly and Lil Yachty. I don't know why it didn't come out in theaters, but I got to watch it and find out for myself.
I want to watch it too, but I was a little sad because Lil Yachty admit when he was on Ridiculousness that he don't even smoke.
But he was here.
How are you going to cast somebody?
He was here yesterday and he admitted that he did smoke on the movie and that he has smoked various other times. So I think when you guys had him a little early, right?
Yeah, maybe he was like scared because it's Ridiculousness, more corporate or something. I don't know. Maybe he was scared to admit.
Yeah, I don't think he's scared of like losing his Target deal. But when I first met him, like when he first came out, I think he like absolutely had not smoked weed. And I think he's just sort of, you know, you hang out with Migos long enough, it's like you're going to hit the blunt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've probably been high just from contact from all the people you kick it with in this industry. Like there's no way to not be high.
You still getting high?
Yes.
Nice.
Always.
That's good. I got to gift you some of this No Jumper cannabis that we have here.
Yes,
these are all empty. We got to fucking get some full ones.
What kind is it? Is it indica or
these
like
are hybrids?
Yes, that's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, that's I love good. Hybrids. Indica is like too dead.
Really?
And sativa, sometimes I think when I smoke sativa, I get more like paranoid. I start having like these like, you know what I mean? Like paranoid thoughts, and I start stress, like thinking about crazy things. Like hybrid is like the perfect high.
No, sativa is like K2. It'll have you running around naked in the street. It's like PCP, really. I got it. Okay.
You're about to light that up. Damn, I'm like, I want to smoke with you, but I also don't want to get you sick. You got vitamins or something?
Vitamins.
I've been taking so much. That's really the key to like fighting off sickness is just vitamins.
I got to stop half smoking these jars because I can only find one full one to give her, but I guess, you know, that'll have to do, huh? But we can smoke this wood after for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get it.
Dude, I feel like a lot of people are going to, like, people who might have sort of fallen for the Chanel West Coast meme of you being a hothead or some shit. I think they're going to see this and be like, you know what? She actually is a cool chick.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't know what all your fans are like, but hopefully they're cool.
Some of them are fucking crazy. Crazy really? Enough to smash that like button.
Let's get it.
You see what we just did there? I don't know what the fuck. Where did that come from? I don't know. This is what y'all smoking. Stems.
Wait, I want to smell this.
Oh, it smells good. I'm assuming.
Whole fire.
See? We got a video coming out showing our whole grow operation. People are going to lose it. Our shit is fucking grown in this place. It's like a fucking crazy hospital full of weed.
Nice. Can I maybe do a photo shoot there?
100%. If you want to drive like 2-3 hours up north, yeah.
Oh, it's up north?
Yeah.
Fuck. I thought it was like maybe down here in LA somewhere.
I actually posted a photo in it today and people were freaking out. They love it. I'm like, man, this is my new identity. I'm going to just be out here pretending I'm a grower.
That's amazing.
For the look.
I actually used to... my mom's gonna get so mad at me for admitting this. She hates it when I do, but like we used to grow in my mom's garage.
Oh, wow.
When I was like 17, so I kind of know how to grow too. But you know, I literally
something to fall back on.
Yeah, let's put it this way: when I got on Fantasy Factory, that's when I was like, "Mom, enough of this."
Really?
No, we can't do this stuff
no more. I knew you were in the streets.
No, my mom's gonna get mad at saying this. Well, my mom's worked really hard my whole life,
so she don't got a trap no more.
And she had great jobs, and you know, things started to get, she did like sales, you know, like safety supplies, and
right.
Once the fucking internet took off, it was like that wasn't a job anymore. Mm. You know, so my mom did the same thing for 30 years, and so after she, you know, she needed to make money.
Yeah, streets were there for
I wouldn't say the streets, you know, it was like growing in like West Hills, but
the garage.
Yeah, legally, because she has like some illnesses too, so it was like, oh, yeah. all legal, you know,
California, that's not drugs. It's just fun.
Medicine. Medicine.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was really dope to get to know you.
I didn't get to know you enough. I feel like I need to ask you some questions.
You don't have a podcast or anything?
No, I should start one.
I feel like you should have like a Dash radio show at the very least or something.
I live around the corner from them, so that would be perfect.
Well, then I totally know where you live now.
Shit. Hopefully, your fans.
I'm not going to do anything with that information, but.
Hopefully, well, you just remember you just said you accidentally gave out the hospital. Now we accidentally, oh my God, you guys, please don't. Now I'm going to have people walking around the neighborhood right around Cash trying to find me.
Attention to all my stalker fans. If you have a propensity to stalk, please stop listening right now and go take some Xans and forget you even watch this.
Okay.
I just realized that Laura has like Fila Balenciagas on. My publicist is out here dripping. Huh?
You're gonna shame me again?
No, because we were playing a song and the rapper said, if the bitch got dirty shoes, she ain't getting in. And I just so happened to look down at my publicist Laura's shoes and she had dirty shoes on. And I'm like, oh, Laura, you ain't getting in. And she brought it up like days later, like, yo, like, you kind of shamed me for having dirty. I'm like, I was just singing along the song. I don't care if you have dirty shoes. Dirty shoes are kind of lit. Like Lil B, are you telling me Lil B couldn't get in the party? He had dirty shoes. That's like his whole image. What are we talking about? I don't know.
Her shoes are fly today, though. You can't say nothing.
She came with a Fila Balenciaga collab that I didn't even know existed. All right. Chanel West Coast, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes.
Thank you for having me.
Like, comment, and subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support Kush in store soon. Appreciate you.